朋友们大家好
Hello friends
Welcome to Spiritual 外卖
欢迎来到属灵外卖
Delivering the spiritual food to you wherever you are
无论你在何处我们为你速递属天灵粮
This Spiritual 外卖 is a part of a series entitled Mission Accomplished The Mission of Jesus Christ as told by Matthew and now lived out by you and meWhat if your boss asked you to join a massive project that would require a commitment of your entire career? The boss would be with you every step of the way and show you exactly what to do. It would be difficult, but it was guaranteed to be a success and would change the world. But there would be one catch. Your name would not be on it. No one would know who you were.What information would you have to know before you agreed to the proposal? What would you require from your boss before saying yes? Would you take the invitation to join the project? After Jesus' resurrection, he sent a message to his disciples. He was getting ready to invite them into a world-changing mission and wanted to talk with them about it in a place they all knew and loved, the mountains of Galilee.The women had already showed up at the tomb and were honored with the privilege of being the first to see the risen Lord Jesus. Now he sent these empowered women to find the men and pass them an important invitation. Invited into a massive project. Matthew chapter 28, verses 8 to 10. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said.They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 17. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted.The 11 disciples responded to the invitation and made it to the mountain. Good job, guys. High fives all around. You showed up. First step is always showing up. If you don't show up, you just might miss the mission of a lifetime. Worship or doubt? When they stood around their risen Lord and looked at him face to face, what did they do? Plain and simple, they worshiped him. The next step after showing up is worship.Exalting Jesus as the Lord of your life, submitting yourself to his kingship. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will fall into its God-ordained place. At that moment, as they gathered around Jesus in a familiar place to meet with him in worship, some doubted. It is presumed that the some of the some doubted are some of the 11. How is this possible? They had followed him for 3 years, heard his prediction about the death and resurrection,seeing his death, and now they were standing before him face to face, yet they doubted? It's hard for me to imagine, but maybe the trauma of the recent days, Jesus' arrest, trial, beating, crucifixion, and death, had just been far too overwhelming. Or maybe they just lacked faith. Hope for doubters. The good news is that Jesus is patient with doubters.Once, a father brought his demon-possessed boy to Jesus. The man took the first step and showed up. He came to Jesus, but he still doubted. Mark chapter 9, verses 22 to 24. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, asked Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed,I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. The result? A boy who was set free and healed by Jesus, and a father who believed. Just after his resurrection, one of the disciples, Thomas, also had a hard time believing. His moment of doubt earned him the unfortunate nickname that he is still known by, Thomas the Doubter. John chapter 20, verses 24 to 29.Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, We have seen the Lord. But he said to them, Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Thomas overcame his doubt and proclaimed Jesus as Lord. Other notable biblical doubters were Abraham. Would God really give him a son through Sarah? Moses. Was God really calling him to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt? Elijah. Would God really defeat wicked Queen Jezebel? Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Would God really give him a son? And even John the Baptist himself. Are you really the Messiah? For those who have doubted, hold on to the truth you know and honestly share your doubts with God or others. Don't allow your doubts to take a wrong turn into unbelief. Those 11 disciples standing on the mountain with the risen Jesus might have had a moment of doubt, but eventually they all believed and gave their lives for the gospel. The invitation into the mission. So, there they were, worshiping Jesus in his awesome presence and some doubting. The victorious King Jesus now makes the disciples an offer of a lifetime. Join him in his mission to change the world. It would be done with his authority, a guaranteed success, require their whole lives, including a possible location change, and they would remain obscure. He would give them the world-changing message for the mission, and he would be with them. And as history now has recorded, it would transform the world. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." All authority. When God created the heavens and the earth and breathed the breath of life in humankind, he gave Adam and Eve authority over the newly created world. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Adam and Eve were given the awesome mission to care for the Garden of Eden and rule over it. They had authority. But on that fateful day when they submitted to Satan's temptation to eat the forbidden fruit, they passed the authority over to Satan. They obeyed him rather than God and gave Satan the legal right to have authority over the world. The result was disastrous. That disastrous result came to an end the day Jesus Christ died on the cross as he paid the price for the sin of Adam and Eve and all of their children who would come after them, including you and me. When Jesus canceled the debt of sin on the cross, he overcame sin, death, and the devil, thus taking back the authority that Satan had been given on the day they disobeyed God and ate the fruit. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Once again, just as he did at the dawn of creation, God called his chosen ones to himself and with authority invited them into his great mission. This time, the mission was not to tend one garden. This time, the mission was to go throughout the entire world to welcome people into the family of God and teach them all that Jesus had taught. Go. After showing up on the mountain in Galilee, Jesus commands them to go. It was no longer time to stick around the familiar Sea of Galilee. It was time to take the message to the world, all the nations of the world. And you know what? The only way to get to all the nations of the world is to go to the nations of the world. Since this moment, the church has followed Christ's call to go and make disciples of all nations. They have left their homes, families, languages, and cultures to follow this mission. They are our champions. They have gone before us. Now it is our turn to take up the mission and go. Years ago, it was prayed over me that I would go to the nations. Since I was a little girl, I had a desire to become a missionary. But when people prayed that I would go to the nations, I wasn't sure how that would work. I understood that I could go to a nation, but to the nations? How would that work? I'm now living in a moment where I'm surrounded by the nations. I'm currently part of a fellowship of people from around the world. Antigua, Italy, Colombia, Australia, Canada, Philippines, Britain, India, China, Ethiopia. I have gone to the nations, and the nations have come to me. Where will you go? Your home may be the perfect place for you to become mature, but all the children must grow up and spread their wings and fly. Where will you fly? Make disciples. We are to become disciple makers, not disciples of our own teaching, but disciples of Jesus. We are disciples and we help others to become disciples. A disciple is a student and a follower. When I make a disciple, the person is not my student and follower. The person is a student and follower of Jesus. What are you doing today to make disciples? Baptize. When we go, our first mission is to share the gospel with the world and welcome people one by one into the kingdom of God. This is marked by baptism. This weekend, two of our friends were baptized. They made a public proclamation of their faith. The baptism was an outward sign of what had happened in their heart. They were washed clean by Christ. Their old self was crucified and buried in the water of baptism. Spiritually, their new life in Christ was celebrated as they rose out of the waters. A new nature birthed in them. When we baptize, we do not do it in our own name. In biblical times, people were baptized by someone who would then be noted as their spiritual leader. John was a baptizer and spiritual leader with many disciples. But Jesus instructed his followers to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, not in their own name. When something is done in another person's name, it is by their authority and to their credit. Therefore, we never baptize someone to become our own followers. The one doing the baptizing is anonymous. They are just an instrument. The baptism is done in the authoritative name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The message belongs to Jesus. The message proclaimed in this mission is the message of Jesus' teachings and the obedience of his followers. Your obedience. When you head out on the mission, the content you will teach, preach, demonstrate, and share is not your own. It belongs to Jesus. It is everything he has taught you, and you pass it on to others. This mission is a chain of lives stretching back to that day Jesus stood on the mountain with his disciples. He commanded them to pass on what he had taught them. These 11 disciples obeyed him and began to teach others who taught others who taught others. The teaching of Jesus was passed person to person from generation to generation, and it has now come to us. We are the next link in the chain. We now have the teachings of Jesus in our hands, hearts, minds, and mouths. It is up to us to pass on these life-changing teachings. They are not our own, but they are his. We can never take credit for an amazing message. This message comes straight from Jesus. It is not our brilliant ideas or cool outlook on life that will change the world. It is the teaching of Jesus Christ and the call to be obedient to all he taught us. Our name is not on this message. It is his name. We go out in obscurity with the words of life. The promise. The task to baptize, make disciples, and teach the world is enormous. We cannot do it in our own power. We only can do this because Jesus promises to be with us. Our own strength is not enough to carry this tremendous message to all the corners of the earth. Jesus sends us. We make disciples of Jesus. We baptize in his name. We speak his message. It is all from him and all for him. There is no place for us to sign our name or receive some credit. Our motivation is not our fame. Our motivation is his love for us, his grace and mercy, and all he has done for us. Our motivation is the safety and surety of living under his authority and serving in his authority. It is the thrill of seeing lives transformed by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. As we submit to him, we go in his name and for his name. We become world changers in Jesus' name. May the world never know who we are. May they only see the greatness of our King Jesus, who accomplished his mission on earth and now passes it along to us. Will you join the mission? Will you go? Will you make disciples, baptize, and teach? He has put his mission in your hand today. Let's serve the Lord together for his glory and for the salvation of the world. It starts by showing up to the mountain when Jesus calls you. Worship him. Go where he sends you. Make disciples, and you will have the privilege and promise of living and serving each day with Jesus in his world-changing mission. There is no higher calling, no greater purpose. To know Christ, receive his forgiveness and love, and be called into his mission, the mission he accomplished for you and me. Thanks for having some spiritual Waimai with us.
感谢你今天属灵外卖。
We hope that you liked it and that it fed your soul.
希望你喜欢，灵里满足。
And we hope you come back for some more.
期待你再次回来。
We love ya.
我们爱你哦。